Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. Where I went to this doctor, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I want to party with you,
cowboy. If the two of us together, forget it.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague with you on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday afternoon. If you missed hour one, check it out on our on-demand section at 1080thefan.com. That's where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at 1080 The Fan after the show. Mike, could we get a, por favor, could we get some NFL music? I always like NFL music when we do stuff like this.
Gotta have it underneath.
And you know, we miss it. I do. They released the preseason schedule. I got that notification yesterday on my drive home, and I go, that did nothing for me. I miss regular season football. That actually matters.
Yeah, that'll be it. When the schedule comes out, there's a bit of a conversation about that, because we all react to what the schedule is, thinking we know how every team's going to do.
Okay, let's start with the 49ers. This was not good. And I saw your tweet this morning. The 49ers saw your tweet and said, we're going to go the other way.
Of course.
Their linebacker, they just drafted out of Alabama last season, Reuben Foster, already a questionable character. Well, he was officially charged with three felonies in his domestic violence case. He attacked a 28-year-old woman during a February argument at their Los Gatos home, leaving her bruised and with a ruptured eardrum. That's according to the Santa Clara District Attorney's Office. They released that in a statement. The 49ers released a statement, said they were well aware of what's going on.
Oh, are you? Okay, good.
But they are going to allow the legal system to play out a little more. But they have told Reuben Foster he is well aware that he is very close to not being on their franchise already, as they picked him in the first round last year.
You hit one more female. Oh, you better not, Reuben. You better not. If he was a fourth-round pick, he would have been cut months ago.
The charges for his felonies can carry up to 11 years in prison.
This is the frustration that I have about today's NFL, if you will, not to get into a whole morality thing. There is extreme outrage about one guy, and it's now back in the news again today because of what may or may not be true with the trip to Seattle. Reuben Foster could end up being in prison for 11 years if he's found guilty of these three felony charges.
Yes.
Is there an odd outrage out there that Reuben Foster has not been cut yet? Like, this guy has been a questionable character for a while now. This is not a one-time incident. When you go read the report from the DA's office, it's awful. And the only reason he's still on the team is because he was a first-round pick, and when he was healthy, he was damn good last year as a rookie.
He dragged her by the hair, according to the report. He threw her and
punched her in the face 8 to 10 times.
Yeah.
And they apparently have photo evidence to back up and corroborate her reports. But the 49ers are not cutting him.
Well, and, you know,
it's a joke. Cut his ass. They should have cut him months ago.
What if it, I hate saying this because it sounds like I'm supporting it, but, like, what if they find or they don't find him guilty
I think if you have, I think if you go through this process and you look over a lot of different evidence and you talk to the victim in this case, you're charging him with three felonies only if you have something.
Yeah, I mean, the DA doesn't want to take a big case with they're somebody not just, like this if they're not confident.
They're
right?
not just going to swing and say, well, maybe something happened there, maybe something didn't. I don't know. Let's go ahead and charge him with three felonies. There's got to be something there. The 49ers have a lot of good things going for them right now. And they are a franchise that was great, and then they screwed everything up, and they've been irrelevant for four years, whatever it's been. They're back going in the right direction, and they're kind of a sleeper team in the NFC West. Here we go. Niners are back a little bit. Got the right head coach. Got your quarterback. Don't ruin stuff with nonsense like this. You don't need Reuben Foster on your team. He's not worth the headache. Cut him. It's that simple.
You do ask a question, though, like, do fans care? I'll be honest with you, big guy. Don't think they do.
I haven't seen much outrage. I've seen a lot of outrage about one former 49er today.
Yes, I think we've seen on the text line. I've seen it on social media. I've seen it on blog posts. And when a guy has this pop up, Frank Clark had something similar. That one, like, divided Seahawk fans. You would think something like that wouldn't divide people. It would be like, no, yeah. Screw that. We want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, she had to flag down a stranger's car driving down the road. Once she flagged down the car, they called 911, she obviously gave them the report. She was taken to the hospital. She was treated for her injuries. And that's when they went into Foster's house, and they found the guns and the magazines. And that's when he was officially arrested. There's something here, and there's no need to associate yourself with a player like this.
That's almost a topic I'd like to dive into maybe in the summertime. Like, why don't people care? I mean, they have no problem. People have no problem voicing their opinion on different issues, mainly political, societal issues.
Sure.
But, like, domestic violence, there's not, like, this big backlash the way those other ones are. It's very,
right.
That's a whole deep dive conversation that could be had on.
Oh, man, I grew up a 49er fan. I want them to be good again. But this is the
That's
kind
good
of
for the league for them to be good. There's no doubt.
This is the kind of stuff I hate when fan bases, and you see this all over the league. You're willing to ignore facts or turn a blind eye because somebody plays for your team or he's good for your team, and it doesn't matter. But if it's somebody else's team, God forbid, you better not. And I hope 49er fans are not doing that and they're not clouding their judgment just because he's a first-round pick from Alabama.
All right, let's go to this one. Jarvis Landry, the wide receiver that the Browns got from Miami, just agreed to an extension, 5 years, $75 million, which makes him one of the highest-paid receivers in the NFL, guaranteed $46 million. That's just $3 million less than DeAndre Hopkins got. He's going to be making $15 million a year. And a lot of people are kind of assuming, this is just a report, but a lot of people are kind of filling in the blanks. They believe they're going to pay him because the Cleveland Browns could be looking at Josh Allen, the quarterback out of the University of Wyoming, the guy with the big cannon. And I found it kind of comical. Our buddy Bill Barnwell had a really funny tweet today. Let me see if I can find this real quick. He tweeted, give me a second, scrolling. All right, the internet just doesn't want to work. It's one of those days in our damn building. He tweeted that Jarvis Landry, they love Josh Allen because of his big arm.
Mm-hmm.
Jarvis Landry was 108th out of 110 wide receivers in yards per reception. He does not catch the ball deep down the field.
What? Come on. So I saw somebody else had it saying Landry's going to make good money to get hit in the ankles 200 times a year by Josh Allen. I can't remember who that had that one. I mean, look, he had a great year last year in Miami, close to 1,000 yards. He's been healthy. He hasn't missed a game yet in his 4 years in the NFL. He had back-to-back years over 1,000 before last year. He's had some quarterback turmoil. Look, I get you look at the number and you're like, you're paying that to a slot receiver. Is it worth it? And you compare him to what other guys have done in the league. I think the main thing you need to remember for Cleveland is they had a ton of cap space. They have money to spend. They're going to have money to spend the next couple of years. This isn't going to cripple them financially, so I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it.
All right, we've got more to get to in the NFL, including an update on Colin Kaepernick.
Aha!
I think a lot of people saw one report and didn't see the other, so I'll read both of them. You can have your opinions. I don't really want to dive into what's wrong and what's right in the NFL. People have their opinions. It's never going to change. But we'll update you on that. And we've got some more tidbits to get to in our NFL News and Notes. That's next on 1080 The Fan.
Wow, man. Bro, she's from, let me tell you about it. Yo, and she came with the
this is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, let's dive into the dirt a little bit. Hey, leave me out of this. That would be a disgusting thing to say if I was referring it that way. So Colin Kaepernick back in the news. This came from Adam Schefter. By the way, Thomas Ian Nicholas will join us at 1:30. Kevin Myers from American Pie. Will join the show at 1:30.
Also, text buddies with Sprague.
Actually, we text three times since the show started.
NBD.
Adam Schefter tweeted.
You have a new best friend, Sprague.
You do. I'm a little nervous. He's going to, like, take my spot, new co-host. Rosenbagger and Sprague.
I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to join his band.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you moving? Los Angeles.
You're going to get a role in the next American Pie movie.
That would be kick-ass. Adam Schefter tweeted, after arranging for Colin Kaepernick to work out for the Seahawks this week, yes, the Seahawks were looking at Colin Kaepernick.
As they should.
Seattle postponed the trip when the quarterback declined to stop kneeling during the national anthem next season. Well, I'd say about 5 minutes after that report, Ian Rapoport came out and said the Seahawks did postpone a tentatively scheduled workout with Colin Kaepernick, as Schefter reported. It was not because he said he declined to stop kneeling, though. The team asked for his plan moving forward on how to handle everything, and there was not a firm plan. The Seahawks brass, John Schneider and Pete Carroll, want Colin Kaepernick to consider how he wants to proceed on everything, not just the anthem, and get together at a later date when his plans are formed. Clearly, Seattle has accepted players speaking out for what they believe. So, kind of a little bit of a contradictory report here between two trusted NFL writers.
Some he said, she said.
Adam Schefter.
Question, who do you trust more out of those two?
Well, Schefter has 7.2 million Twitter followers. Ian Rapoport has 1.6 million.
Ooh, are you going with the
Ian
number
Rapoport
there?
Ian Rapoport wrong a lot.
Is he?
Yeah. I follow them both.
I follow them both.
I don't like track how much they get right or wrong.
Adam Schefter wrong the, never.
Schefter's been wrong.
He's had some stuff he's missed on.
Little things, though.
And for what it's worth, Pro Football Talk and Florio are now corroborating Adam Schefter's report.
And they're saying Ian Rapoport cannot be trusted. He works for the NFL Network, which is owned and operated by the team, so they're pushing a narrative.
He's a crony. I tend to believe there's some truth to both of these. I think kneeling, obviously, is probably the main thing with it, but you do have to have a plan of attack if you're going to sign Colin Kaepernick, because just glance at our text line whenever his name comes up and there's going to be some outrage from fans. So you need to have a coordinated plan of how you want to handle the PR aspect of it, because that is the reality now in signing Colin Kaepernick. I would hope this wouldn't keep them from signing him, though, because Seattle needs a backup quarterback. And this is a perfect fit for him. If
you don't have Austin Davis anymore?
I don't know, but I know Colin Kaepernick's better than Austin Davis. Boykin's gone because he got arrested one too many times. Kaepernick's far better than Boykin in the first place. So it seems like it's a match that should happen. You know, it's interesting because Colin Kaepernick came out last year while he was looking for a job and said, I will not kneel anymore during the national anthem. I believe Eric Reed has said something similar of saying, I won't kneel. I just want to keep playing football.
Eric Reed's not getting any love.
Nobody's talking. He said, I'll play for the same contract I had last year. I'm not looking for more money. Like, he just wants to play football. So it's interesting that Kaepernick apparently now has gone back on that statement from last year, if you believe those reports, and saying that, no, I will still be kneeling for the national anthem. And, you know, I'm not going to bash Seattle too much on this because every single team in the league has decided to not sign Colin Kaepernick for one reason and one reason alone, because he takes a knee and because it's bad PR. And there's a chunk of your fans that won't like it or be on board with it.
You know, I thought when he had filed the lawsuit, I thought it was like, oh, okay, here we go. I don't think it was a good look for him. And I think it goes against his goal of being back in the league. But at some point, that lawsuit starts to look a little decent in his favor.
He just testified in the lawsuit.
I believe it was last week. If he doesn't get signed by the Seahawks, you're going to have this report out now.
They just said they were not going to sign him because he's going to kneel.
No, they said they're putting it on hold.
Oh, okay. Putting it on hold. Yeah.
But they won't sign him.
Because he's going to take a knee.
Yeah.
That proves his whole case.
Is there anything he could do to switch the
opinion? So does RG3 signing, by the way.
Yeah, seriously.
big.
No, RG3 is refreshed, okay? He took a year off, and he's ready to go.
Let's say Kaepernick gets signed. You're immediately going to have half your fan base, or at least it feels like half your fan base, upset, angry, vocal.
Sure.
What if he came out and got signed, instantly volunteered to help the local veterans community? The Veterans Center in whatever city. Let's say he does something like that. I know this is all hypothetical.
Some sort of volunteer work.
Is there anything this guy could do to switch the opinion by people? Or is this just a done deal? He kneeled. He's not American. Screw that guy.
Do you see our country right now?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a hard no, Bob.
It's a done deal.
I don't think it matters what he can do. How many people can tell you what he's been doing the last 2 years?
Oh, I had this conversation with my book club. Oh. And I actually enlightened them on like 4 or 5 things. They had no idea that it happened. And I wasn't even like screaming pro Kaepernick. I was just saying, I think he should get a shot as a backup. And then I said, hey, you know, they were like this and that. And I said, did you know that he did this? Did you know that he did that? And they were like, no. I didn't know that.
I would say no then, because if you haven't been following it the last 2 years, maybe it helps a little bit because it's local community and the team will cover it for sure. But I think that's what
their fear is, though, is the backlash in whatever city he's
That's
in.
Why they don't want to sign him. And that's where I think, I do believe Rappaport's piece a little bit, is that if they are going to consider to sign Colin Kaepernick, you have to have a PR play in a place like that. Like, you have to have something ready to go to try and alleviate that anger.
Because it's
going to be there. But if maybe you can win over a couple of them or a portion of it because he does this for charity or donates this amount of salary, whatever it might be. But if you have something like that in place, maybe it lessens the
impact. Maybe you guys are onto something because part of that conversation I had with those individuals, they were telling me about a certain police department in a city that shall not be named or county. And how those people did not watch the NFL because of the Kaepernick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what about that? And to which I responded, well, what do you think about the veterans who publicly support Colin Kaepernick? So, like, one side matters to people, the other side doesn't. So if there's a group of veterans or active military that despise him, it's almost like the other side that support him, that are veterans or active, it doesn't matter. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe there's nothing that can be done.
I think everybody's pretty well dug in on that topic.
We're in a weird space where nobody who is in a disagreement seems to be able to have a civil discussion about it.
You're a donkey or an elephant, and there's no in between. There's no understanding of either.
Yep. Yeah. And that goes to, it's spreading to literally everything. It's not just politics based, although this is kind of mixing. It's everything. Yeah. You can't be disagreeable anymore. You either agree with one side or you hate the other side.
Will he get signed by the Seahawks?
No.
I don't think it's dead yet.
Maybe one team
would do it, the Seahawks would.
And that's it. I mean, they've had a history of outspoken players. Let's not act like supporting
outspoken players.
They had guys that kneeled during the national anthem.
And they gone. Well, I don't know about all the kneeling players, but the ones that were productive and vocal, they gone. So you're saying no?
I'm going to say probably no.
Okay. Vontaze Burfict got suspended 4 games. Shocking. He tested positive for a banned substance. So you got that going.
I saw there was a report. I think it might have been Kaepernick or somebody else, but there was like a Cincinnati was like unwilling to sign a guy because of controversy.
They had Adam Pac-Man Jones for like 10
somebody
years.
Had the tweet that was like, wait, Cincinnati is not willing to do that? You kidding me?
Interesting thoughts on the text line on this topic. One from P1 Chad. If he donates a ton of time and money to veterans, I'll root for him as a veteran myself. However, if he were to sign and get playing time and starts playing like he did in Super Bowl years, that fan base will 180.
That's true. I mean, if he comes back,
NFL fans are fair weather fans of the highest degree.
Yeah. You'll support anybody if they're winning. Every fan base is the
Reuben
same.
See Reuben Foster.
Yes. We did that in Portland.
See Greg Hardy. See anybody else that's played with
you go out and play well
off the field top situation.
I don't know. It's a fascinating one, man. All right, there's some NFL news or notes. Broke it up for you. There's mainly two big stories, but you know, Jarvis Landry involved.
Both tied in with the 49ers. Kind of.
Sort of. They both were at one point.
Hopefully, they're both soon to be former 49ers.
Oh, Alden Smith also tested. He had a DUI, 0.40.
That's up there, man.
That's a big Dewey. I mean, they're all DUIs, but that's high.
Did you see what happened in the Cubs game? This old dude caught a home run ball perfectly with his glove and then did this weird falling down throw the ball back.
Hawks it back on. That's such a stupid thing to do.
I would always keep it. I don't care what people say.
What are the chances of catching a home run? People stop caring after 10 minutes. It could, yeah, unless you're one of those guys. If that's your first one, that's stupid. Hold on to that bad boy.
Maybe he doesn't want Francisco Cervelli's home run ball.
Yeah, the Pirates up 6-1.
Racist against Italians?
Let's not go down the racism avenue right now. All right, let's. We'll get to the baseball stuff. There were two fights that happened yesterday, both pretty good, and then also a pretty bad story for Derek Jeter in year one running the Miami Marlins. So we'll get to that. But first, we will talk with Thomas Ian Nicholas. He is in town for the Wizard World Comic Con starting tomorrow through the weekend at the Convention Center. And he's going to join us in studio. Thomas Ian Nicholas, Kevin Myers from American Pie, Henry Rowan Gardner from Rookie of the Year joins us in studio next. But first, Mike with a sports update. Remember, we was kids
just nappy headed greasy. This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. Hope your Thursdays are going well. We're really excited for our next guest. We've been looking forward to this one for a while, and he's going to be at Comic-Con this weekend, April 13th through the 15th at the Oregon Convention Center. It is Thomas Ian Nicholas. Do you go by Thomas, Tom, Tommy?
Hey you, it all works.
Hey you, all the names work. Okay, yeah. And you're on Twitter at TIN Band. We have a million things we want to ask you about. First and foremost, though, we've had a poll question running in the building now for like 4 days of what you're more recognized for, American Pie or Rookie of the Year?
It depends on where you are.
Interesting. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, baseball is not big in every part of the world.
Okay.
So from a generalized, like, more places... Mm-hmm. They would be American Pie. Like, I've been recognized at, like, the airport in Caracas on my way to Margarita Island with my wife. She's a DJ and has played all over the world. So not Rookie of the Year, you know, in Caracas, American Pie. But, you know, obviously here it's the 25th anniversary. Yeah. We happen to be, I'm assuming, maybe at a sports radio station. So
yes.
I'm going to guess Rookie of the Year versus American Pie today.
You know, there's so much to be asked, I think, of that movie, because I think you're hitting us right here, the core demo of guys that grew up watching people like you on that movie, American Pie, et cetera, and following your career. What's the number one thing that stands out about making that movie for you?
I think just, you know, the Cubs and Wrigley Field and and obviously at the time, you know, I heard a story about a year and a half ago from the producer, because I went to Fox and I was like, hey, do you guys want to reboot this movie or do a sequel or something with it? And they were interested, but just not at that time. So I might like disrupt the system and do like a crowdfunding campaign this year to see if want like a sequel.
I'm in.
Well, yeah, like how Henry Rowengardner's son gets drafted by the team.
Right.
Anyway, so the thing is that at that time they went in May and met with the administration, which obviously in 92 wasn't owned by Tom Ricketts.
Right.
And they were like, when can we film in the stadium? They're like, October. And they're like, what about the postseason? They said, yeah, we can 100% guarantee you there will be no postseason for the Cubs in 92. So there's an affinity that I have, because the first time we shot on the stadium, you know, it was like, it was in between a doubleheader. It was September 17th, 1992, Cardinals versus Cubs, big rivalry. The 10 minutes in between the game, Daniel Stern explains to 35,002 Cubs fans that we're going to make a movie. 12-year-old magic arm takes the Cubs to
that's
win the World
crazy.
Series. So I have an affinity for the Cubs.
I didn't know that's when
that
you
moment.
Shot it was before.
So the whole crowd was there actually watching a baseball game, and they just were.
Yeah, that's just like the one shot, like when Henry first gets called to the mound, and the coach is like, throw the heat. And they do like a 360 shot, and I look like I'm in shock.
Yeah.
It's because I am in shock, because there's 35,000 people saying.
Yeah, how crazy is that? I mean, you're there in real.
Henry.
That's nuts. It's like a 12-year-old standing in front of 30,000 people. That's got
to be a little nerve-wracking.
35,000
people.
And two.
How many?
They have more seats now. This is before all the, the like rooftop seats and everything.
How many takes did you have to do with Daniel Stern? How hard was that as a kid?
I think I could still see me like almost crack up when he's choking on the sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that was like one of the tougher moments because they would like sometimes hit me in the face when he was coughing. Brickman wasn't even in the original script.
Oh, really?
No yeah, way. It was just like Daniel Stern's stress relieving role because he was the director
as well.
So that was like his way of, blowing off some steam.
That's a good way to do it.
I just showed my 6-year-old son Rookie of the Year for the first time 2 weeks ago, and his reaction to Brickman was like, Daniel Stern's a genius.
Yeah.
Because it just like gets the kids in, and he's like, did you see that guy just got hit in the head 3 times by the ball? He's in the pitching thing,
Well, even at 6'2", the hot ice scene, wait a minute, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Melt the ice. You got to melt the ice. Come on, it's the best of both worlds. And my son's, an avid movie watcher. He's seen like every Disney film ever made, so he guesses the ending of everything. So, Henry throws the first fastball, and he's like, so when's he going to lose his magic arm? I'm like, son, just
come
watch the movie.
Man. Yeah. Don't spoil it. We're like 20 minutes into this thing, right? We got Thomas Ian Nicholas here. TIN Band is where you can follow him on Twitter. He's going to be at Wizard World Comic Con this weekend, April 13th through the 15th at the Oregon Convention Center. Was Gary Busey crazy back then?
Yes.
He's always been crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
He's just been crazier over
just
the years.
Kind of just
elevates
his...
until he's, maybe now. I haven't seen him since like 06. So
it's been a while.
Chet Stedman Gary Busey was not Entourage Gary Busey. That's for sure.
No, for sure. For sure. He was really nice to me though.
That's good.
Yeah. He was the nicest to me. He once carried me by my underwear across the lunchroom, about 25 feet in front of about 100 crew members.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
But just remember, he was the nicest
to me.
Yes.
Sounds like a peach to work with on a movie set. Yeah.
There's other stories too. Not fit for radio.
Right.
Can you explain the feeling you guys all had making American Pie versus the reaction to what American Pie turned out to be?
You mean like just for the first one?
Just did you even have any idea that this was going to, it was going to blow up into what?
No. I mean, and it was a sleeper hit as well. It sort of slowly climbed. Mm-hmm. Up, in theaters. I think it was in theaters for like 10 weeks, and it just kept doing, the same numbers every weekend. It just never seemed to trail off.
Mm-hmm.
It always seemed to just maintain. And even then we didn't know, like, cool, we're going to have a franchise and we're going to go make 3 more of these things. We were just, excited kids and had a good time and, tried to make the best thing we could. And Paul and Chris Weitz were really focused on, like, keeping everything grounded and, I don't know. It was a great experience. I have very fond memories of all those films.
Is there any chance of making another one?
There's definitely a chance.
Okay.
So you're saying
there's a chance? Because I think every single one has been funny for different reasons. Like watching different moments of your guys' life, of going from high school to college to the marriage to having the kids and the reunion stuff. It's been perfect. Like perfectly placed.
The next one would be like American Pie meets The Hangover.
Right.
It'd be like a Vegas thing.
Yeah.
It's been written. Wow. It's just not been made.
Okay.
If they can have 10 Fast and Furious, there can be
There's no reason you can't keep making those.
I don't
movies,
count
right?
the whole band camp. Like when you guys aren't in it, I don't count those. Yeah.
Sure. But we wouldn't have made American Reunion if it wasn't for those films. I think that like it degraded the brand, but it also kept the brand somehow alive.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of had to answer back.
There's like a demand of like, can we get back to what this once was?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? It's ironic that you were end up coming in studio because we found out about this about 2 weeks ago. And my niece had a project at school. She just did it yesterday. I can show you pictures after the interview. And she had to be Walt Disney. And she watched your movie on Netflix.
Oh,
Walt,
no way.
Is it Walt before Disney or is it Walt before Mickey?
Walt before Mickey.
Yeah.
John Heder plays Roy Disney, my brother.
Yes, and she wanted me to tell you because I told her I was interviewing today. She loved the movie, thought it was great. She hated the ending. And I said, why do you say that? And she goes, well, because the whole movie, he's in misery trying to create this, and we don't get to ride the journey of happiness of Disneyland.
Well, because it wasn't happiness even then. Right. The last moment of the movie is he makes Playing Crazy. We would have had to have one more downfall because they almost went bankrupt again. Playing Crazy didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why everyone thinks that Steamboat Willie was the first, you know, Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah.
It was the next cartoon that he made.
Yeah.
So, and once again, like scraping, you know, pennies together. John Heater and I do a Disney trivia panel that's hosted by Lanny Sarum, who's the author of Handbook for Mortals, who I'm here in town with. She has a book signing tonight at the Barnes & Noble in, I'm going to say this totally wrong, Tannisbourne.
No. That's perfect.
100%. Sweet. Did it this time.
There you go.
So, yeah, she's got a book signing tonight in Tannisbourne. She'll be at my table, my booth at Wizard World Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so you can get a signed copy of Handbook for Mortals. It's a best-selling book that I'm going to be producing into a film. But, yeah, so Lanny hosts the Disney trivia panel with John Heater and myself. Cool. And I think John's got some Oregon roots.
Yeah, yeah.
And some from friends here. And family
here. From the area, from the area.
Yeah.
I like that. So what's it like when you go to these Comic-Con kind of things? I mean, what's the experience like of just seeing all sorts of fans come up to you? Is it pretty enjoyable for you?
Yeah, it's absolutely fun. I mean, I get to, you know, basically tell people thanks for watching. They tell me they enjoy my work. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I am very proud of all the success of my past films. So I love talking about those things, and it's always exciting on the new stuff. So, like, we do these book signings on the Wednesday beforehand, or it's Thursday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On the Thursday beforehand. I know what date is, I swear. I have two kids. I don't ever sleep.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, people will come, and they'll read the book, and they'll come to Wizard World, and then sometimes, like, people are dressed like the main character in cosplay from a book that they've just read, and not just, like, the main character Zayd on the cover of Handbook for Mortals, but like the description of Zayd, what she's wearing on like page 127.
That is crazy.
So it's really cool because Wizard World is a great place for the whole family. People, you know, get to like that have seen American Pie and Rookie of the Year, but they're also, you know, very open to a new project. And that's why Lanny and I have been doing the Wizard World Comic-Con tour since last May. We have been at every single Wizard World across the country, and we'll be at every Wizard World across the country the rest of the year.
God, you got a good life, man. You're married to a DJ, you got two kids, and you go to all the Comic-Con.
That's
sounds
not
like
bad
a fun
right
there,
right? Yeah, and I'll play on the entertainment stage at Wizard World on Friday and Saturday.
So tell us about the band.
Then I have an after party at the Barrel Room on Friday night.
The Barrel Room, there you go.
Yeah, it's the official Wizard World after party.
Nice.
So I'll be playing some of I've got six albums. The most recent one is the Frat Party album, which is all my favorite songs from the American Pie soundtracks, including one of my own, which is on American Reunion. Got to pick your own, right?
You're right. You got to pub your own stuff.
And then my fifth album, though, the first five are all original. My fifth album, I actually wrote here in Portland in 2014 with my buddy Caleb Terman, who was in a band called Forever the Sickest Kids. So he still lives here, so we're going to hopefully hang out.
Do you ever not work? Is there ever any downtime?
The downtime during the Comic-Con tour for us is every Saturday night. In every city that we do a Wizard World, we go to an escape game. Have you guys ever done an escape game?
Room. Escape room.
I just did one like a month ago.
Oh, cool. Which one did you do?
They put us in we were test patients of some sort, and we had to figure out how to escape these two laboratory rooms.
Dude, you should come with us. Saturday night, we're going to Escapism. And ironically, the names of the rooms are The Wizard's Lair and Magician's Menagerie.
Oh, so
it's kind of perfect because we're here at Wizard World, and the storyline of Handbook for Mortals is about a young woman who moves to Vegas to join a magic show, but she can do real magic. So we're like, Wizard's Lair, Magician's Menagerie?
Dude, I love
those. Sold.
Yeah. It fits, man. It fits. Well, that's awesome. So let our listeners know when you need money for the next Rookie of the Year movie.
We're already in.
Because we're chipping. Let us know. We'll write you a check however much you need.
Well, no, it's going to be like, I will let you know. I'll post about it on all my socials, like you said, at Tin Band.
Yeah.
It's Instagram, you know, Twitter, Facebook. I'll probably do like a pledge film campaign. So, you know, you'll be pre-ordering. You won't get charged unless we hit our goal, and you'll get like cool, you know, memorabilia and stuff.
Yeah, get something out of it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're fingers crossed for another American Pie. Okay,
dude, don't stop making them. Okay,
I won't stop, man.
I mean, listen, if they would let me produce it, I'd just do it for you tomorrow.
Right.
In the meantime, I'll produce this one. I've got three other films that I'm producing this year: Adverse, Stealing Tom Nichols, where I basically make fun of myself, and Bitcoin.
Nice. Okay. You're going to be busy, man. Well, check them out this weekend. Wizard World Comic Con. It's at the Oregon Convention Center, the 13th through the 15th. Stop by. Say hello. Thomas Ian Nicholas, as he mentioned, TIM Band on Twitter. Thanks, man. We had a great time. Thanks
Rosenberger.
For stopping by.
Got a dozer. Rudenbacher.
Henry, Winning, Gargner.
I love that, dude.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. That was a phenomenal Henry Rowan Gardner there at the end. We need to pull that, just have that as a random drop from time to
that
time.
That has to be a drop, yeah.
Thomas Ian Nicholas, awesome stuff from him. We had a great time, and hope you enjoyed that interview. Hey, couple of baseball brawls yesterday. Good little fights. We won't talk unwritten rules, but how fun was that to see? Crunch time next on The Fan. And we get back into the Blazers-Pelicans series coming up top of the hour. Look at the other matchups. We haven't talked anything about the East playoffs. Can you sell me some entertainment in the Eastern Conference?
I could sell you entertainment, but ultimately it's not going to matter because most people, I think, are just thinking, oh, okay, Boston's done.
Right.
Not trusting Toronto. Have fun in your eighth straight NBA Finals, LeBron James.
Likely going to be Cleveland
again. But
they're
the four seed. I think it's going to be a little more interesting than you guys are selling.
Ooh.
First of all, the Sixers are on like a 16-game winning streak going into the playoffs.
I could see them losing to Miami.
They murdered Milwaukee last night.
I don't know about that. The Sixers are really good right now.
They're really young, and they haven't been in the postseason.
Who do you trust for them on the Heat?
I think the Heat are a very good team. They've got James Johnson, who's their best defender. Wayne Ellington's actually played pretty well with their exposure. You got Goran Dragic, and you've got dual big men. And by the way, Justice Winslow is not bad. The Heat are a sneaky good team in the East. The East.
You're not selling me very hard on this.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to convince you otherwise. The Phillies won 16 games in a row, but...
The Phillies?
Look, I think there's entertainment to be had in the Eastern Conference, but are you picking Victor Oladipo and the Pacers to beat Cleveland?
No, but Cleveland sucks outside of LeBron, so I'm...
Well, but they have LeBron.
I know, I'm just saying I'm very curious to see if they're going to struggle this year, because they have not looked good for a long stretches this season.
Mm-hmm. What if Toronto loses in the first round?
Who they play? So Washington.
They'd be so Raptors-y.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd be very Raptors for them to lose.
Raptory. Well, there's our whole segment on the Eastern Conference. There you go. Coming up in the final hour, we'll figure out something else to talk about at 2:30. There were a couple of baseball fights yesterday, and sign me up. These were really cool. The first one, we talked about it yesterday briefly on the show. A little brouhaha at Coors Field as Nolan Arenado got into it with the Padres. This stemmed back from the night before where Colorado hit Margot, where they were center fielder, and he's going on the DL. He hurt some ribs or something, so he's out for a while. They retaliated and hit Arenado. He was not happy about it. He charged him out. And then you had another one last night, Yankees and Red Sox. This game took forever. Like, was this an eight-hour game, it felt like?
It was, what, 4.5 hours?
It was,
four
a, it was a long game. It
was a long game. But tempers flare between these two teams, and when it goes that long, and there was a situation, Tyler Austin slid in at second base, and his spikes went up, hit Brock Holt. So everybody kind of came out, yelled at each other, nothing happened. A couple innings later, Joe Kelly hit Austin with the fastball, and then that's when all hell broke loose.
He threw two straight pitches right at Austin. The first one missed. The second one hit.
Yeah, and then he tried. I always love the guy after the game that tries to claim, just a cold night. Slip. He just didn't have my control.
You said the plan against Austin is pitch inside and then go outside for sliders. Right. I was just pitching inside.
Just trying to throw him a couple of pitches inside. But he hit him. A couple of solid fights yesterday in baseball.
Yeah, I personally enjoy the Yankee-Red Sox fight a little more than I did the Padres and Rockies. And the reason I say that is because there were people legitimately in headlocks. It was an actual fight going on, whereas Colorado should have had more of a fight going on.
If the pitcher wasn't a wuss, it would have been a great fight.
I kind of felt like all of the Padres were a bunch of
Nolan Arenado was ready to rip somebody's head off.
Perdomo threw his glove, and when it missed, he just went backpedaling. Yeah.
If Arenado connects, there are two things I would pay for that I can think of top of my head right now in sports. One would be I would pay $5 to watch Nolan Arenado's punch connect.
Yes.
And the second is I would have paid to see LeBron James finish the and one dunk on Draymond in that game 7 and they beat him.
I think there should be a new rule instituted in baseball that if you're a pitcher that throws at a guy like that, you should not be allowed to leave the pitcher's mound. Like, you should have to face the music with that.
That's a good rule.
Like, if you want to drill somebody,
you can only stay within
the mound. You can go to the other side and hopefully trips over the hill or something like that. But if you're going to throw 98 miles an hour at somebody's ribs and potentially hurt them, you should have to face the consequences of that.
At least like Joe Kelly, when Austin was walking towards him, said, "All right, let's go." He waved him on. And then he kind of ducked out of the way, but I think that was more of a leverage thing to try to get him on the ground.
Like, hey, let's go. Bring it on at least. Like, I kind of like that.
Well, baseball fights are awesome.
Well, we had a Yankee fan in the office telling Mike that they thought Stanton slide with the spikes up.
Austin slide?
Austin slide, sorry. Was on purpose. And Mike was defending it. I said, no, not on purpose. I think you own it, Mike. I think you say you for sure he meant to do that.
But if you watch the replay, it's clear he didn't mean to do that.
Well, see, I think there's different definitions of this,
Chipper
though.
Jones piped in on this, too, on Twitter. Did you see Chipper Jones?
What did Chipper Jones have to
basically say? Basically, we all know you don't slide with spikes up like that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to police itself.
I agree and I disagree with Mike at the same time. I don't think he did it on purpose. I don't think he slid into second base with the intent of going spikes in. It still ended up being kind of a dirty play, though, because you made contact with the spikes.
That's what my opinion is. The spikes up is like, that sucks. You're not supposed to do that. But I don't call it a dirty play because he didn't have intent. It's dirty if there's intent behind it because...
Okay, so if you have spikes up, you know that that's not how you're supposed to slide in. So even if you maybe didn't mean to hurt somebody, you should still be... aware of the way your cleats are pointed, correct?
Yeah.
So kind of in a weird way, it was on purpose.
Somebody said he slid into the left side of the bag with the spikes up. It was intentional.
I think it was, man.
Another one, I'd have to rack my brain on this. Somebody said, can you remember a baseball fight where a dude caught a solid right hook to the face? Always seems like they get broken up too quick.
Jose Bautista, Rugnenodor.
Touche.
That's right.
That was a great punch. Oh, I totally forgot about that one.
Knocked his sunglasses off.
Yeah. That was a good baseball fight.
And everybody hates Jose Bautista, so it was even better.
All of America was rooting for that one.
The other side part of this is Boston needs to be careful with this kind of stuff. They went down a wormhole with this last year. I don't know if people remember this, but Machado slid into second base, and they threw at Manny Machado like 25 times after that. And it did not, like, it...
25 times?
I might be over-exaggerating a little bit, but they were throwing at him for, like, 6 weeks every time they faced, and it did not go away, and they did not forget about it. So, like, I would hope that at least, obviously, tempers flare in a situation like that. It's settled now, right? I mean, Austin slid in high. Brock Holt wasn't super pissed about it after the game. Go listen to his interview. They hit the guy that slid high, so it wasn't like he retaliated against somebody else. So it was an eye for an eye. Austin slid high. He got hit with a pitch. Hopefully it moves on from here.
Yeah, but it's Yankees Red Sox. It's not going to move on from here.
Yeah, people bringing up Nolan Ryan, of course.
Well, I think that's great. That's what I walk away with is Yankees Red Sox. As annoying as that can be, I think, for non-Yankee, non-Red Sox fan on the West Coast and how it's every national game, it's interesting again.
The rivalry's back, baby.
It's back, yeah.
Yeah, did you see the Nolan Arenado interview, by the way, yesterday after the game? They asked him, do you think you're going to get suspended? And he just started laughing. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get suspended.
No, he said, yeah, I will get suspended.
It's going to come down.
I don't know how long, but yeah, I know I'll get
the
suspended.
The funny thing is people think it's going to be a light suspension because the punches didn't land.
It should be. He shouldn't be suspended for more than a game.
No, I know. I just find that funny that you can throw haymakers like that, but if they don't land, it's not a serious suspension. But if they land, then it's different. It's like he's doing the same thing. He just happens to miss with the punch.
How long did Odor get suspended?
Ooh, I'd have to go back and look that remember. Up.
I want to say like 7 games or something.
Probably
something
a week or so would be my guess. Yeah. Somewhere in that range. Yeah, good little baseball fights yesterday. Good way to stay in the news early in the year. Boston and New York going at it. And Colorado, San Diego. How about Mark McGwire, too? He's been in the middle of a bunch of those. I remember when he was in Arizona. They and the Dodgers got in a big fight one night.
Yeah, he likes
in the
to chime in from the bench.
Yeah, so he's been around. He got into it yesterday too. So a couple of good baseball fights. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We got an edition of Mike's Plums coming up at 2:15. Looking forward to those. We'll take a look ahead more to the Eastern Conference playoff picture. Is it just Cleveland, or are you giving anybody else a chance? But we'll start again with Blazers and Pelicans. How many games does the series go, and who wins it? 5-5-3-0-5. Load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Spring on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.